The Wall Street Journal reports today that investigators looking into the Boeing 737 MAX jet crash in Ethiopia earlier this month now say it was likely caused by the same thing that doomed the Lion Air flight last year in Indonesia. Joining us now, Seth Kaplan, Here and Now's transportation analyst. Seth, good to have you.
Likewise, Peter. Good to be here.
So it is early, but this preliminary finding does suggest that the automated flight control system is the cause of both crashes, and that's what has been suspected all along.
Peter, almost like putting together a puzzle. You're still missing a few pieces, but you step back and you kind of think you know what you're looking at. In this case, in the days following the Ethiopian Airlines crash, you could kind of see the broad similarities between the two crashes. But as time goes on here, it's taking less imagination to draw the parallels between the two crashes.
On Wednesday, Boeing announced upgrades to the software that controls the anti-stall technology. We talked to you about it when it happened. But we're not hearing a lot about why the sensors themselves are malfunctioning. Is anyone looking into that?
Boeing surely is looking into that, although I have to tell you, Peter, I haven't seen any evidence yet that the sensors themselves were failing at unusual rates. Mm-hmm. What's unusual here, the anomaly here, is that a bad reading from one sensor could cause catastrophes like this. I mean, Peter, you've probably been on flights where you took a delay because of a bad reading. The pilot says, hey, it's going to take a few minutes, and it might have been the sensor, but we all live to tell about that. So that's what's strange here, is the fact that something like a bad reading could lead to these two disasters.
Seth, as the investigation is ongoing, we got the first American lawsuit against Boeing in the crash of the Ethiopian Airlines jet. That came yesterday. Boeing being sued by the family of a UN worker, one of the 157 people on board who were killed in that crash. More than 30 other lawsuits have been filed against Boeing for the Lion Air crash in October. What is at stake for Boeing with all these lawsuits?
Jeremy, it's hugely costly. They're going to ultimately probably settle a lot of these for a lot of money. All of that, though, just in financial terms, was priced in when Boeing's shares tumbled in the days following the crash, lost, I think, $35 billion in market capitalization. You know, the fact that these planes were likely to be grounded for a while priced in, too. So, for Boeing, as long as that's what happened, sort of what everybody expected, it can move forward. I think what the world is looking for here is an indication that, yes, that these planes are going to get back in the air safely, and that Boeing will be able to move on and deliver the rest of these 5,000 MAXs that it took orders for.
Mm-hmm. There's also been a lot of concern about how the FAA approved this new airplane, the 737 MAX, and the delayed decision to ground those planes. On Wednesday, the FAA's acting administrator, Daniel Elwell, appeared before the Senate Commerce Committee's Aviation Subcommittee, and he said the FAA is committed to safety.
The 737 MAX will return to service for U.S. carriers only when the FAA's analysis of the facts and technical data indicate that it is appropriate to do so.
So now they're being more careful. But Seth, why did it take so long for the FAA to ground the 737 MAX, especially given the news we're talking about today, that it looks more likely that the cause of both crashes is the same?
Jeremy, in a sense, the FAA was doing what it had always done, which was wait for the data from the flight data recorder. That's what it would have done in the past, and the world would have kind of accepted it. What's different now in this world is that literally minutes after the crash, anybody with a computer could jump on and kind of see what had happened. And then in the days following that crash, you had this satellite data. It's called ADS-B. That's what finally caused Canadian regulators, followed shortly by the FAA, to make the decision they did to ground the plane. So a lot of other information available, maybe changing the world in ways that the FAA hadn't thought about.
Seth, I know you're following this other airline story. Discount carrier WOW Airlines, based in Iceland, stopping operations this week, just closing up shop, thousands of passengers stranded around the globe. What happened to WOW?
WOW was trying to do something that's really tough to do, and that's take that budget airline, that low-cost carrier business model, and try to cross oceans with it. I mean, everybody from Southwest Airlines to all the other airlines that have come after it, generally, they've been very successful in short-haul markets. But once you start trying to cross the Atlantic, well, then it's everybody from Sir Freddie Laker back in the 70s to People Express and on to the present day has struggled to do it. Larger Norwegian, by the way, another budget airline serving 14 or 15 U.S. cities, struggling to, not as badly as WOW Air, but it's a tough business model.
And by the way, passengers are not happy about it. Seth Kaplan here in Now's Transportation Analyst. Thank you.
Thank you.